And now, still waiting for the Indians to really take off, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I know the Indians have got it within them. It's just, when are they going to really let it go?
Not really separating from the rest of the division. It's kind of hanging around.
Yep. I agree. Wow. 20 in a row. And a solid favorite to make it 21 today, too. So,
although not nearly as solid as they were yesterday, as they were yesterday.
If they win it, then we could have a frank opinion. Are the Indians a lock for 25?
Yeah.
Right? Because they seem to have done well against the Royals, who are going to go in there for four.
Particularly in their own barn.
Hat, dump, Royals, appears to be coming.
Royals trying to...
Dump in hat.
Royals trying to score their first run in Cleveland and... Four games?
Were they the first part of the streak?
They were the first game with the Royals was game two. They won the previous night 13-6 over Minnesota or Boston.
So they're 2-3-4.
Yeah, 2-3-4.
Of the 20. Okay, good to know.
32 runs in 20 games they have allowed.
Yes. interesting.
Well, I know... Tito Francona knows more about baseball than I do, but were you surprised to see Kluber out there at 104 in the ninth inning?
Can we zero in on
that statement,
on that acknowledgement? That's big.
Whenever I say
that's a big
whenever
moment.
I question a manager, I'm like, the guy does have two World Series rings and been to a third, but were you surprised to see Kluber out there in the ninth at 104?
Yes.
And a 2-0 lead, tying run on? Nope.
Was it worth it? He got it out of there in what, 113?
Something like that.
I think he took 9 pitches to get through. I do like how the narrative becomes all Indians. Fly ball, define fly or pop fly. Pop fly to center. That's what SportsCenter said.
Yeah.
And it's the Mizzou guy. What's his name? The glasses? John Anderson. Pop fly to center. I'm like, the center fielder went backwards. That's a little more than a pop fly, but okay. But yeah, did he get out of there, I want to say, with 114, 113?
There's issues with the baseball reference this morning.
Stunning. Stunning development there, Curtis.
I'm shocked, Cotton.
Yeah, but the Indians keep on winning. I will say this. Teams that go on a win streak like this, usually when it ends with a double thud. So if the Royals can end it, I think they can take 2 out of 4. Because I think the team usually goes, no problem. We'll show up the next day. We'll start a new one tomorrow. And then, again, it's like, whoa, hang on. What were we doing to win? So there's usually a little bit of a market correction that comes after a long win streak like this. But you got to stop it first. Got to get that first one. Yeah. And streaks die hard. And they're clearly willing to go for it. I don't know. What's it worth to have the longest win streak in American League and potentially baseball history? What is the longest win streak in baseball history?
26, New York Giants.
What is that worth? Did that team go on to win the championship? I think it's of note that
I don't think they did.
The team that they've tied and the team that they beat previous, the Royals, did not go on to win the World Series. So this is not an indicator that if you can put together a streak like this, you're a world champion.
And the A's were what? They lost in the division
they
series.
They always do, yeah.
Yeah, they or they may have gone to the LCS that year. No, Twins beat them. Twins beat them because the Twins lost to the Angels. So they didn't even win a series. That was the Moneyball A's.
This Indians team looks pretty good. Because you gave the stat. And oh, by the way, yes, there's still a game to be played against the White Sox. I'm hip to that fact. But and somehow the Royals are a 145 favorite with Eric Skoglund on the mound against Lucas Giolito, who is the guy that was untouchable from the Nationals, and the White Sox finally pried him away in the, what, Adam Eaton deal?
Is that what it was?
And everyone went, wait a minute, Adam Eaton? Like, Giolito was untouchable. There were bigger guys they could have had with Giolito.
That's a big number.
I mean, it's not the minus 460 that the Cleveland Indians were last night.
Good Lord.
460, folks. That means you got to bet $460 to win 100. It was the biggest spread, biggest line odds on a baseball game since I nailed Steve Traxel against Pedro Martinez in 2000. And I don't know what that one was. plus 480 or something. I mean, they mentioned it. And Traxel won 1-0 against Pedro Martinez. Martinez gave up one hit, struck out 17, and lost to Steve Traxel, who shut out the Red Sox 1-0.
You're crazy.
But that, and that game was that kind of game as well. It was a 3-run homer. You know, they had a man on in the ninth. It was a blast, a bloop and a blast away from being 2-2, and then going into extra innings and a chance to steal the game. That's why you just, you either bet the dog or you run from that one. If you're going to go out to Vegas this week and you're going to bet baseball, don't lay 460. Don't do it. Either buy a lottery ticket at plus 400 and go for that, go for the other side, or just stay out of the way of that game. It's as simple as that.
The 1916 Giants, who won 26 in a row, finished 86-66. How about that? They were third in the National League. Didn't even sniff the pennant that year. They were 8 games back. Actually, they were in fourth place.
How'd they play one? The 2 rainouts they didn't make up?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, but that's how far out they were. So it wasn't like those games mattered. Well, you're so buried that you're not going to get there.
26 in a row.
Royals win. Somebody figure out how. Somebody figure out why. Somebody figure out what it meant. We're going to hear from Ned Yost here in a second to kind of give you an idea of what is going on with the ball club. I thought very telling comments. You heard him right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB after the game. And where this team is, I mean, they win because they have an inning, which is fine. That's baseball, man. And Brandon Moss put a swing on and hit his 21st home run. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But they get the win. And you know, Gavilio is why they got the win.
Yeah.
5 innings. At spring training, and I'm let's take the victory lap. We said, look, coming down the stretch, I really think Jacob Junis and this guy that is in Tacoma, Sam Gavilio, it's just get to September, and those two guys are going to carry the team down the stretch. I remember saying that. I remember saying that. Rob, you were there.
Yeah, no, that definitely that was set. And I remember you.
It was that day I had the hoarse voice.
Yeah.
You know, that really sets it apart.
Yeah. And you're pounding on the table. Alexander should be the closer for this team.
Why isn't Alexander closing? Yeah, thank you. You remember that.
He has nerves of steel. He creates jams just to get out of them to prove that he can. That was my explanation for yesterday. It's like Sam, or Scott Alexander is just showing off now. Watch this. You think the one pitch, one out saves big? I'm going to put two guys on with nobody out.
I don't want
one of them at third. I'm still going to get them out.
I don't want to be bothered unless there's some drama. So let me create the drama. Now let's go get it done.
Strike out, pop out.
You know, I think what we need to look at with this team instead of talking about, well, if they'd done this, they'd done that. Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? I'm not so sure that 81-81 isn't one of the more impressive baseball accomplishments ever. And this isn't going to be remembered as a great part of it. I really hope they have a winning record. I really wanted that last year. Damn it, I wish they could have gotten one more win. So you talk about the team having a winning record, potentially going for a winning record this year for the 5th consecutive year, but it's at least a non-losing record they're going for the 5th consecutive year, and a winning record 4 out of 5. I think that would have been fantastic, but I do think we need to acknowledge, and I was just on with the station out west talking about the Royals before we got started here today, and they're like, well, you know, Wade Davis, I mean, you know, Dayton really. All right, listen, I've said this a number of times. You keep Wade Davis, that's a $10-plus million salary. You give Jorge Soler back, okay, that's $3 million. So that's a $7 million cut you got to make. I said, let me give you the easiest way to get to 7. No Butera, no Hamill, and no Moylan. Now, where are they now? Now, I tell you what people are going to say is, well, Jacob Junis would have been up the whole year, and he'd have been nails. Well, he sucked to start. Kind of had to get his nose bloodied and go back down, so I don't know that it would have been good. But let's say he's same as Hamill and Junis now. So who's Junis now then? Because Junis is playing Jason Hamill. So who's Junis now? They off a scrap heap found the kid yesterday. I mean, it is... It's a 5-alarm fire, personnel-wise, with this team. They are completely out of gas, personnel-wise. There's no one to turn to. They've turned to guys that were not even on our radar screen and gotten results. I know the narrative is that Datemore somehow was asleep at the wheel for this year. I say BS. I say you're not giving the man credit, and you're not acknowledging what it took to get to this point and the weights he was carrying of moving all the young pitching to win 14 and 15, which is conveniently thrown out. I hear all those people, you know, I've even heard this, you know, well, Davis costs more. I don't want to hear about payroll. Okay, then that's fine. I don't want to hear anything you have to say from this point forward.
Then give me $20.
Yeah. give me $1,000 then. Oh, money doesn't matter? Then I'll take my $1,000 from you. It's irresponsible. I mean, that is part of the equation. Kendrys Morales is not here because of the cost. Brandon Moss is Diet Morales. And let me tell you something else. The guy hits a grand slam. He's got 21 home runs. He's got 45 RBI. Now, there are those that are the because he doesn't hit him in clutch situations. No. No. I mean, I don't expect him to be 21 and 110 because he is pretty much home run or bust. But there is no reason he's not 21 and 75. The 30 missing RBI are the fault of Alex Gordon. They're the fault of the other offensive players not getting on in front of him. Okay? That's it. I mean, if you want to get frustrated, I don't like – there's no one guy. It was a collective effort and a lot of different reasons on why the Royals got to where they are. I would say this. We can piss and moan that they're not living up to their incredibly high standard of 14 and 15 all we want. And there are those of you that will do it and enjoy. I will not. I'm going to tell you Jacob Junis going out there and getting it done is a tremendous success for this franchise and a reason to believe that there will be another rising of this organization with these men running it if they stick around. And if they don't, good Lord, where are you going? Now, if Dayton Moore steps away, I think J.J. Pecola is the guy you turn to. Is he ready to be that? I don't know. We'll find out. He's qualified. Resume's there. I kind of don't think Dayton Moore's stepping away. I think he knows that the other things in his life that are important that he wants to do are certainly helped and fueled by the fact that he is Dayton Moore general manager. You know, tell me, what has Tony Dungy done? Tony Dungy, he's got other things. He wants to mentor. He wants to have I have no doubt that Tony Dungy has affected people's lives. But how many of them? Because he's no longer Tony Dungy, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Tony Dungy, Super Bowl winning coach. He's Tony Dungy, former coach. Tony Dungy, bad broadcaster. Sorry, my opinion.
Just is.
So I'm not convinced that Dayton Moore is just hitting the brakes and done and going to get off the merry-go-round. I think he likes being the general manager. I think he likes mentoring the young men that are on his team. I think he's going to hang around. I think he's done a hell of a job. And I think there are a lot of factors that we, when we get frustrated and disappointed in games like we saw in the first game of this series, neglect and don't want to acknowledge anymore, but are real. Yordano Ventura's passing is real. It didn't go away because we've moved on from it. Baseball-wise, it's real. Every fifth day for this team, it is blanking real. The money spent on Jason Hamill, $5 million this year, $7 or $8 million next year on a stair-step contract, $7 million, I think. That's real. That's real cost. You know, it's they won. They're showing some heart. I think there's every reason to believe. There's every reason. If you're a Royals fan that loved and enjoyed 14 and 15, a large portion of those teams is still out there on the field. And it's great to come out 700,000 strong for a parade. It's also pretty cool to go out there and cheer on guys that are on fumes, playing hurt, struggling. Alex Gordon, even as a human being, the man does not want to go out there and hit a .199 or .205 or wherever he's at. I don't even look anymore.
It's .208 going into yesterday.
All right, super. So, yeah. We're maybe in two double digits. Yay. I mean, he does not want to go out there and do that. He has busted his ass, done everything he can physically do. Now, mentally, that's his biggest hurdle. I mean, Bubba Starling, man, I'll bet you he could be a hell of a coach for Bubba Starling. And really, afterwards, when he looks back and goes, you know, I should have just gone a little bit easier. But, you know, he busts his ass. So go out to the ballpark. Support these guys. I mean, they are the guys that won you a championship. They gave you those great memories. Don't get all sour. Don't get all hate-filled because it didn't work. And Dayton Moore, when you see him, slap him on the back. Because I'll tell you what, he's done a hell of a lot better job this year than people want to give the man credit for.
So is Ned Yost.
So is Ned Yost. You're damn right.
They're 8 games over where their run differential says they should be. And that's not
again.
Just, again.
Like always.
5 straight seasons they've been ahead of their run differential. That's, I mean, I'm not putting Ned Yost up to be manager of the year, but he's anything but the bumbling idiot he's often portrayed in among fans and some members of the media.
If you didn't hear this yesterday on Between the Lines, I want to play this for you. It's less than a minute. This is Ned Yost from postgame. I want you to listen to this. Is the man who won a 4-3 game, whose pitcher did get in dire straits in the ninth inning and then nailed it down and got it done. This man won. This is him talking about his bullpen and that he didn't have many choices yesterday.
Minor, was the freshest of the group. He hadn't thrown in 2 days. So we figured we can go 2 innings with him. Was hoping that when he went back out, we get DeMonico out there and kind of lessen Moylan's load a little bit because we knew they'd be pinch hitting left-handers in there, but we had no other real options. Moylan had to get through it, and he did. He held the fort right there. And my thought process today was I was going to stay away from Alexander. He's running on fumes, and we got in that spot, and it was kind of tailor-made for him, and you could tell he was really struggling with his command, but made big pitches when he needed to and got the save for us.
He goes on to say when asked about today, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll work through that. I mean, does that sound like a guy who's like that? He put in the game 2 guys he did not want to have to put in the game. 2 guys that are overworked. 2 guys that are not ready to take the ball. Both of them took the ball.
And that was after staying an extra inning with the guy he was afraid of, the fourth inning. He had to deal with the fourth inning, too, with Gavilia. So when he needed to get to 5, and then he needed to get to 8, and he needed to get to the end. And so he this isn't 2015.
No.
Point, click. 6th inning, go, guys.
No. And let me tell you something. Wade Davis wasn't going to pitch the 5th yesterday. Wade Davis was not going to pitch the 8th and the 9th. So, look, I think the tone and tenor of your comments and your thoughts about the Royals, as you discuss with your friends, should be positive. This team is warrioring up. You know, I know the great stories, the 30 for 30s, which was, by the way, there was a great one last night. The 30 for 30s are usually about the victors, right? Those are generally the stories. 30 for 30 maybe does a better job than anyone of finding the guys that they didn't just, here was a championship season. It's, what have I told you? Here's the real story behind a lot of the sporting events that happen that you don't remember. But, man, there's some poignant stories. That's what this year is for the Royals. There's not going to be a 30 for 30 about the year the Royals went 81-81 2 years after they went to the World Series. That's not my point. If that's what you're taking from it. My point is the heart and character that they're showing on a game like yesterday out of that bullpen and the coaching staff getting Sam Gavilia ready to roll after claiming him off minor league waivers.
3 runs over 10 innings. That's 2 starts.
That's a team that's warrioring up. And you should acknowledge it and appreciate it. That's it. That's
so look
I'm
forward
saying.
To Mike. Was it Mike Morin? That the guy that picked up the Shawnee Mission guy? He's going to be nails because that's what they do. They pick up scrap heap guys who are nails.
Well, don't get me wrong. Eric Skoglund's going to go today. And I said, look, I called him the Bobby Keppel effect.
Yeah.
Rolling out there. The guy that they haven't seen that they don't take serious. And he got by once. And then, oh, we've seen the tape on this guy. He actually was too good in that first one. So, like, well, we got 6-7 lefty. I better take a look. Oh, wait a minute. His stuff's not that good.
Crank. That thing.
I guess that wouldn't have been the bat. The bat would have been more like crack, 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 crack.
Yeah,
those were his pitches.
That run ended immediately in his next start.
That was
the fastest wall ever.
Jake Junis was more of what you'd expect, kind of roughed up. Yeah. Oh, all right, look, you're okay, kid. Here's the mistakes. Oh, okay, I can improve that. Come back. Now he's dealing. You know, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here. 913-3-810-810. I know Tim Grunhard's not coming up at 11, so let me get the Wednesday show Sorry about Grunny coming up. I hold in my hand.
Yeah.
Fast Talking Rob's Wednesday plan now. This just in. Or set on my desk yesterday afternoon, and I just finally got it in front of me. Jacob Feldman is going to be with us. NFL writer for Sports Illustrated has penned a piece, a couple of pieces that were of note on. One, the rebirth of the running back. Kareem Hunt's one of the guys who figures prominently in that piece.
Oh,
and then he
God.
Talked about the origin of Kareem Hunt. Details, I believe, his 10-year-old game where he went for 710 touchdowns. Now, I haven't heard numbers like that since I walked off the field in the fourth grade.
Dude, now, you were dominant.
No. I was at best Anthony Sherman on the B team in the fourth grade. The B team Anthony Sherman. That was me. I could play a little more at nose guard, but I was the short yardage fullback in Pee Wee football on the B team. By the way, the stigma of the B team is still there, isn't it? Right? That's part of my insecurities, I think. I think had I made the A team, I'd be thin.
Probably so.
I eat.
Because you would have had
to get over my deep, dark depression about only being on the B team in football.
But I was a B team football player because I was thin. So it's not a perfect analogy. So
somewhere in between us. Of course, walking down the street, we're the number 10 or 1 point something. I mean, you know, as tall as you are. Together, the perfect B team player. Or together, we're an A team player. Yeah. Still done, cut, senior year of high school. But an A team player in Pee Wee Ball.
There are times I've thought, if I had gone out for football in high school.
No, you had no chance.
No. If I had gone for football, I probably would have made the team. Maybe that would have got me into a weight program and I would have stayed in shape
after
I got out of high school. That's a possibility. But I was 6'4", 220 pounds at 21. I was already there and it didn't happen. So I doubt that would have helped me any. I just like food
it's a good
too
point
much.
You're a lost cause. There's hope for Rob and I, but you, no.
I like food and I can cook. That's a bad combination.
You do amazingly cook a lot for a single guy.
And there's been no wife to say, we're going to have to cut back. No, it's just me. You can't be your own conscience in that regard.
If you haven't heard this, I'd like to just underscore the point you just made there. How much bacon did you put on one sandwich?
Half pound. And then the other half pound on the other sandwich. It's been a while since I've done that.
An hour?
Those were the good old days. About 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. About 8 years. About 2010, I guess. I'm trying to think of where I was living at the time, and that would have been about 2007.
Was there like a burnout place on the floor from where like a crack thing had gone awry? Was it that location?
No, that was.
If you see us at remotes, ask us about what we're referencing there. It's funny.
That was the place before that.
Okay. So it wasn't that place.
No, it
wasn't the crack house.
No, this was the small apartment. This was 07 to 10. Not the
the den of debauchery you moved into after somebody else left.
Should have taken pictures of that place before it got fixed.
Hey, I moved into a place Johnny Dare lived in.
And I'm sure that was probably better than I thought.
Did you have bullet holes?
No, but I did have tire tracks on the wall. And it looked like someone had changed the oil in the living room.
Okay. All right. You might have me on that one.
Did they have a four-wheeler in here?
We're going to give you Andy Reid's press conference, whether you like it or not.
He's going to look forward to the challenge of the Eagles. And they're a pretty good football team. So,
well coached. Good players.
Good players. Doug's got them going.
Talented.
So are you saying we don't need it now?
We need it.
Okay.
Those are the compulsories.
We need it because Rob's put it on the schedule.
It's on the
we
sheet,
gotta fill
so
a
it's
segment.
Going on.
Andy Reid's like an Olympic ice skater. They have the compulsories. They have to get this jump, this jump, this jump. Andy Reid has to get in.
Has to do the figure eight. Yeah,
looking forward to the challenge. Good team, well coached, good players. You know, Doug's doing a good job there. It's going to be a tough challenge.
So listen for that. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. I want to know, I've got a long list of things I really want to get to. Rob just fills segments.
Yeah.
Me, there's passion and fire. Rob, just getting through the day. Frank Bowl will be with us in the noon hour. That'll be good, right? Talk some football with Frank, get some Frank opinions, play What in the World.
He'll run here from his home.
Yeah, don't hit the old guy in the orange shirt walking with ski poles.
Sweating old guy with a backpack, orange shirt, gray pants.
Rob Dowster is going to be with us from NBC Sports. Dowster? It's Dowster, isn't it?
steal your joke.
I was in Sports Talk Radio when they were trying to get that right, and it literally was a daily occurrence.
Is it Okoye?
Okoye? Okoye. No, no, it's not. You know, it's not a cheer.
Yeah.
He's from NBC Sports talking about the new transfer rules, potential new transfer rules. Want to transfer? Go for it. No problem. How does that work? Does it mean that if you're good at K-State and Kentucky has a scholarship open, you're immediately their seventh man and win a ring? And so anytime you're good, you're just a feeder school for the big boys? I don't know. Let's find out. He's going to tell us. Of course, we'll give you the things you need to know. 913-3810-810. Bill wants to talk some Chiefs. That's awesome. Mark wants to talk some Royals. Got a couple of phone lines open. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.